Good morning. How's everybody doing? Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you all so much for being here today. I'm getting myself all situated up here. My name is Andy. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. We're so thankful to have you here with us hanging out today. Today is much better than last Sunday outside. You know, our weather has a lot of issues going on. It doesn't know what it wants to do, which is incredibly annoying for me, but it's all good. And I appreciate the fact that you all are here. I know a little bit more about our church that if it snows, people don't want to come. If it's sunny, people want to come. That's cool, man. We love you either way. So, but again, we just appreciate you all being here today. Today is the fourth and final week of our message series that we've been in called Go Small. I mean, I've absolutely loved hearing from all of you all, just the different stories and that you all shared in your one word or your thought or your statements, whatever they may be, that how God has been using this series to really impact and change your life as you step forward into 2016. And it's just been awesome. I've loved hearing that. So I appreciate those that have shared that with me. And hopefully today will be a good conclusion of that. Things will go well. You all will receive. God will speak. And everything will be good. So as we move on and kind of conclude this series, I want you to remember what we've been focused, like what's been our key thought for this series. And what it is that we're not going to focus on the big things. I mean, big things are important, but we're going to choose in 2016 to go small. And we want to remember that, like, over time, like, for us, I don't know about you guys, for me at least, and a lot of people I've talked to over the past couple of weeks, when we see somebody that's just doing, like, just incredible things, they're very successful, or they're just better in this certain area of their life than we are, man, we can get overwhelmed with that, like, kind of consumed with, like, man, what massive changes do we have to make in our life to get those type of results? Like, what big things will we have to do to get to that point? And we start thinking that way, and then it kind of sidelines us because we just get stressed out and overwhelmed. So it's just like, it's just too hard, it's too big, I'm not even going to try. Meaning that's just a lie. I mean, that is a straight lie that Satan deceives us with, because the reality is, and our key thought has been this, and I want you all to remember this, write it down somewhere, because I'm probably not going to say it much after this, at least up here. But write it down, because I mean, this is such an important thought, and it's this. It's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. See, it's not those massive, huge things that kind of overwhelm us when we're looking at trying to make some changes in our life, but it's the small things that matter. It's that first step. It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. I mean, in week one, we talked about seeking God for one word, just one word that was going to direct your path for 2016, that was going to be your focal point. Not 20 words, not 15 resolutions, just one word. Week two, we talked about the importance of our thoughts, right? And that we were going to have one thought, and that our thoughts are powerful, because our thoughts, man, they become our words, which is what we talked about last week, was our words. And our words are incredibly important, because our words eventually become our actions, right? Like my man Marshawn Lynch said, I'm about that action, boss, right? Our actions, our words become our actions, and our actions are important. And they're critical, because our actions eventually become our habits, right? What we do over and over and over again. And then our habits then become our destiny. It's who we are at our core. So all of these things are critical. They're important, and we have to focus on the small pieces. So today what we're going to do is to wrap up this series. We're going to talk about the power and the importance of habits. Specifically in our conversation today, we're going to talk about disciplines, right? Being self-disciplined, having multiple disciplines in your life, or just one discipline, right? Starting small, go small, right? So just to kind of get a read on everybody, how many of you all would say that you are an incredibly disciplined person? Like, you're just very disciplined. One brave soul and two brave souls, right? That you're very disciplined. I think I know how this is going to go. How many of y'all would say that you are undisciplined? You're not very disciplined. You struggle with that, right? How many of y'all just don't like raising hands in church? See, no one raised their hands because they don't like raising hands. Because I know a lot of y'all didn't. That's okay. But we struggle, right? It's tough for us sometimes to actually think that we're disciplined or to be disciplined. But what I want to kind of leave you with today, and kind of like just, I'm just going to kind of lay this out here and let you think about that. But in reality, even those of you that said that you're undisciplined, you're actually very disciplined. You may just be disciplined in the wrong things, right? We're all disciplined. We all do things consistently. They just may not be the right things. And we tend to think about being disciplined as being disciplined to the good things, but a lot of times we're disciplined to the things that may not benefit us. That may not be healthy. That may not be wise. We're disciplined to those things, right? So if you have someone that's like, I'm just very undisciplined. I'm just not disciplined whatsoever. I mean, I'm lazy. I'm overweight. You know, all I do is just sit around all day and play video games. I'm undisciplined. Well, the reality is you're very disciplined at hitting the snooze button on your alarm clock, sleeping in, right? You're very disciplined at overeating at every meal. You're very disciplined at playing 2 hours of video games a night, right? You're disciplined. Just may not be in all the right areas or the areas that you're seeking out potential growth. See, we're all disciplined. But we've got to make sure that we focus on being disciplined in the right areas, the right kind of disciplines. So today we'll kick it off by giving you a little, very simple definition of discipline. And I want you to grasp this, write it down, do whatever you want to do with it. But I do ask you to hang on to this stuff because it's going to be good. So discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. That's discipline. Choosing between what you want right now. Like when I get home from work, in that moment, what I want to do is space out. I want to sit on the couch and just stare at the wall or stare at the TV, doing something that's not going to have me think or have to do anything, right? That's what I want now. But maybe what I want most could be that I want to be a better parent, right? So choosing between what you want now versus what you want most. And if I want to be a better parent, instead of coming home and spacing out, which may be what I want to do, I need to invest one-on-one time and time with my kids, right? That's discipline. That's the right discipline. Choosing between what you want now and what you want most. But again, we're all successful in certain areas, and we're all disciplined in certain areas. And when you look at those areas, whether it's the right discipline or the wrong disciplines, you're going to see disciplines, right? So for example, if you say, you know what, man, I've got a great marriage. When you kind of look behind the scenes and uncover that, you're going to see some really good disciplines. I mean, you're going to see somebody that you know, maybe has a date night once a month consistently or a couple times a month with their spouse, right? We're going to see a couple that prays together or maybe is in a community group together that maybe goes on a long weekend trip, you know, for, you know, once a year just to reconnect, kind of get away from the kids, keep that marriage important and focused on. Or if you know, say, you know what, I'm actually pretty successful financially. That could be because, you know what, and you look behind, you see some of those disciplines of, you know, we live below our means, right? We live on less than we make. Novel concept, right? Or, you know, hey, we're generous and we tithe and we put God first in our finances. Or we're investing wisely, whatever it may be, but there's good disciplines that we see that lead to being successful financially. But on the flip side, it's also true, right? I mean, if there's these areas that maybe we're not succeeding in that we would say we want to be disciplined in. And majority of the time, it's that we're just inconsistent in those areas. We may struggle in those areas. We know what the right discipline is, and we shoot for it, but we're just kind of inconsistent with our discipline. You know, so if you're like, you know what, the New Year's resolution, I'm going to work out this year, right? I'm going to work out 2016. I'm going to get in better shape. Yeah, so you know, you're like, okay, here's my game plan. I'm going to get up early every morning. I'm going to work out. You know, some mornings I might work out at home. I'll go run in the neighborhood. Or the other times I might go to the gym, whatever. So Monday, get up early. Perfect. Knock it out of the park. Great workout. Tuesday, beautiful. Great workout. Wednesday, you know what? My shoulders are kind of sore. I think I'm going to take a break day. Wednesday or Thursday, it's raining outside. I don't really want to get out of the house. You know, the couch seems a little better. I'll take another break day. And then we fall into that rut, right? We started off strong, but then we become inconsistent. Or, you know what, I'm going to be disciplined in my eating this year, and I'm going to focus on that. you know, and Monday comes, and, you know, you on Sunday, you pre-cook all your meals, and you got all your little Tupperware together, and you're ready to go, and you're eating healthy. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're solid. You feel good. You've got momentum, right? But then Saturday comes, and you got to get your kids to T-ball or to basketball and soccer and dance, and you're running all over the place, and you're like, man, I'm hungry. I don't have time to go get something healthy, so hey, there's a Taco Bell right there. I'm just going to run for the border, right? Go get some Taco Bell. And the next thing you know, not only do you get some Taco Bell, but you've got an extra large Mountain Dew and a massive order of Captain Crunch Delights. And if you've not had those things, holy crap, they're incredible. I'm sure they're horrible for me, but they are incredible, right? But we lose momentum, right? We start off strong, but then we start to lose momentum. Someone over there is like, what's Captain Crunch Delight? You're welcome. But we lose momentum, and we've got to focus. But see, I can relate to that. I 100% relate to that, you know, of trying to be disciplined in this area, in the right area, and focusing on it, and having some momentum, and then slowly seeing that decline. But see, the good news is that we're not alone in that. That's not abnormal. Even the Apostle Paul, arguably the greatest spiritual leader in all of Christian history. I mean, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. Like, he wrote half of the New Testament, at least half of it, right? The Apostle Paul, right? He struggled with this as well. The struggle with the same thing that you and I struggle with. And he was like the picture of transparency when he said this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Check us out. He said, I don't really understand myself. I say that all the time. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. This is Paul, okay? We put these people up on these pedestals like they're like so different from us, but yet he's saying the exact same thing we say. Verse 18, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. Man, he's struggling. He's inconsistent. Man, he's talking like, you know, I want to eat this apple, but Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I'm coming this way, right? I want to do this. This is what's right. This is what's healthy. This is what's good for me. But I'm rolling over this way. It's that struggle that we see. And he continues in verse 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, check us out. He says, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. It's not really me that's doing the wrong. It's the sin that's living in me that does it. And I think we skip over this a lot of times. It's easy to just kind of read through things and jump over things. But what I want you to understand is, man, that is our very nature. Like, because of the fall, we are sinful people, and our natural inclination is to go the opposite way of God. Not to go towards God, but to go away from God. Not to do the right thing. It's just natural for us to do the wrong thing. No one has to teach you how to do that. It's just naturally in us. So that's just how we're wired. We don't have to seek out temptation. It's there. It's just how we're wired. And then in verse 24, he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Again, man, I've been there. I'm sure probably some of you all have been there too. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? I mean, he's saying, like, who's going to help me overcome this temptation? Who's going to help me have the right disciplines? I mean, who's going to help me walk away from my sin and walk towards God? He's like, man, how can I do this? And then in verse 25, he answers his own question. He said, thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Boom. Drops the mic. There's the answer. It's found in Christ. See, our nature and our natural inclination is to do the wrong thing. But because of Jesus living in us, we have a chance. Like, we have a shot at it. We don't have to be that. We can be transformed through his power. We can be changed. We can be different because of Christ. Not because of anything that we could ever do, but because of Christ. Man, and some of you have been trying for years to get the right disciplines, or trying to kick some habit, or trying to live better, or do something different. Man, today is a day that you'll be set free because of Christ, because of claiming his truth. See, it's not about self-discipline. It's really about being spirit-disciplined, right? Because it's not us. Like, every time we're going to try to do it, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. Yeah, we might have some consistency. We might have some momentum here and there. But if we're trying to do it on our own, we're going to fall on our face every single time. I know from experience. I've done it, and I've seen it. We've got to tap into God and his power. So he says, who can deliver me from this body of death? He says, Jesus. That's it. No one else. Nothing else. Jesus Christ, our Lord, period, the end. And because of him and through his power, we can choose what we want most over what we want right now. And we can have the right disciplines. But man, how do we do that? Easier said than done, right? How do we do it? Well, first, obviously, we got to go small, right? Or I wouldn't be talking about this in this series. We're going to go small. But we have to become disciplined in the right disciplines. And the way we do that is we have to train to win what matters most, right? We've got to train our bodies to do what matters most and to seek and follow and run towards what matters most. And see, when we read some of Paul's letters to the Corinthians, he reads, there's a passage about running a race. He talks about this kind of in this analogy of a race. And see, the Corinthian church would really understand this and be aware of this and understand this concept of a race, because in this culture, there was some games called the Isthmian Games. And it was basically like their version of the Olympics. Right, there's this race, and the winner was, you know, they won that. It was, you know, incredible for their community. I mean, it was a sense of patriotism and pride for them to be in this, and not only to be in this, but to actually win it. It was important. So when he's speaking to them about a race, they understand this from their cultural perspective. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Paul said, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win." See, he didn't say to run just to run. He said run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. Then he jumps it over to the spiritual piece and connects the dots. But we do it for an eternal prize. See, he says all these athletes are disciplined, man. Like, they work hard, they are disciplined, they are focused in on the job at hand, and that's not just to run the race, but to win. They don't enter it to run, they enter it to win. Man, they're not running for the bronze, the silver, anything like that, they're running for the gold. And that's it. Not running for anything else. And see, when he's saying these things, he knows that the Corinthians understand that these runners in these games were chosen for a 10-month training process. So for 10 months, I mean, they'd go to the gym and they would focus and they'd work out. They'd be on this incredibly strict diet to where they wouldn't eat or drink anything that didn't benefit their body and benefit their ability to be in the best shape possible to run this race. No cheat days. It was intense. It was focused. And man, for 10 months, they would train in all kinds of conditions, extreme hot, extreme colds, so that their body was ready and disciplined to run in whatever conditions came their way. I mean, they were focused because they didn't run just to run. They ran the race to win. And that's it, to win. That's all they cared about. In fact, it was so intense that many times they also would just take their clothes off during the race and run naked, so they had nothing to prevent them, to hinder them from running. Now, I don't know about you, that's talk about some motivation to be in the front of the pack. I don't want to be fourth and fifth running behind all that mess. So you want to get out and win, right? But that's how serious they were about this. I mean, they didn't want anything to slow them down. They wanted to win. They would risk everything to win. But you see, we're running a race, and we've got to run this race to win. And it's not for some earthly prize that's gonna fade away, man. These guys were running for a, you know, a wreath of leaves. Congratulations. But see, we're running a race for something more. We're running for an eternal prize, man. We're running this race to win so that we can glorify Christ. So when we stand in his presence, we could glorify him and honor him. That's why we run it, man. And we have to be spirit disciplined in order to win this race. We've got to focus, man. Every step has to be intentional. Everything we do has to be intentional as we train ourselves to be spirit disciplined. Paul goes on to say this in verse 26. He said, "So I run with purpose in every step." Man, I love that. I mean, that's talk about focus, man. Not with some steps or every once in a while. He says, no, I run with purpose in every step. Man, I'm not shadow boxing. He's saying there's not some imaginary, you know, person that I'm fighting or enemy here. He said, no, there's a very real enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that's what I'm running and fighting against. And every step matters. Every step has purpose. Verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Not what it wants to do, but what it should. See, again, our bodies are naturally inclined to sin, right? To do the wrong thing. So we have to train it to do what it should. And it takes focus. It takes training. We have to run this race every step with purpose, with the only goal in mind of winning. And see, and when we grasp this, man, we decide, you know what? I'm going to choose what I want most as opposed to what I want now. And when we do that and we tap into the Spirit, man, we can start to change things. We can start to be disciplined in the right areas, whatever it may be for you right now. I mean, it may be, again, you know what? I want to be healthier, so I'm going to say no to this junk food, and I'm going to say yes to health, right? Or, you know what? I'm going to say no to this financial temptation and say yes to being debt-free. I'm going to say no to all this other mess over here that could jack up my marriage, and I'm going to say yes to loving my spouse like Christ loved the church. That's what it's about. And the only way we can do that is through tapping into the Spirit, man, being spirit disciplined. That's what matters. Every step has to matter. And we can do that through Christ living in us. Again, not anything that we could ever do ourselves, but because of Christ, we can win. We can win the eternal prize. Now, some of you that may not know me very well, could maybe say, you know, well, that's sure that's easy for you. I mean, you're the pastor, and, you know, so you must have some, like, natural spiritual discipline and self-discipline and whatever. Like I said, those that don't know me, I don't know if you caught that. But man, I struggle with the same things you struggle with. I'm just a dude like you guys, and I struggle. I'm tempted with sin just like you're tempted with sin. I'm tempted to do the wrong thing and run towards the wrong thing just like every person in here is. There's no different. In fact, to be completely honest, on my own, I'm pretty undisciplined. I'm not a very disciplined person in the right areas all the time. I mean, sure, I've got like 50 billion things going on, like 100 plates spinning at once between, you know, my job at U Spiritus and pastoring the church and, you know, being a parent and a husband, all these things. And so from the outside, it could look like, well, in order to do all that, you have to be disciplined, right? But for example, the reality is I'm very disciplined in coming home from work, sitting on the couch, and spacing out. I'm very disciplined in that. So much so that I was actually up till about 1 in the morning finishing this thing up last night. How's that for discipline? Right? But when I tap into the Spirit, when the Spirit dwells in me, man, it helps me to become disciplined in what matters most. Christ in me, spirit discipline. And when I get that, man, I get some spiritual momentum, and then I can be more disciplined in this area, in the right area, and then more in this area. But it starts with going small, focusing on that one thing. Every single step has to have purpose to win. And the only way we can do that is through Christ, being spirit disciplined. So I want to ask you two application questions, and then we're going to get out of here. But the first one that I want to ask you is, what do you want most? Like, in order to start this process and to work through this, you have to know what you want most. And for some of you, that's pretty easy. I mean, you know it. You've been struggling with it. You've been working towards it or whatever it is. But what do you want most? And I'm not talking about, like, you know, like material things. Like, I want a new, you know, Lamborghini or some Mercedes or whatever. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the right disciplines. I'm talking about the things that will build your life. Things that will zero you in on Christ, or things that will allow you to be healthier so that you can be there for your family, so that you can serve Christ in the capacity that he has created you to serve. Like, whatever it is, I want you to just take a second, note that down somewhere, write that down, type it in your phone, write it on your mirror at home, whatever you need to do. But you've got to identify what it is that you want most. Maybe it's that you know, you say, you know what, I want to lose some pounds. I need to be healthier. I'm not taking care of the body that God has given me. So we're going to make those. That's what I want most. Or you say, you know what? I want to get married in the future. I mean, that's something that I want, that I long for. Or maybe it's that, man, I want to rebuild my marriage. Or maybe it's, you know, that I want to get close to God like I used to be. Like, that's what I want most. More than anything, I just want to be closer to God. I was close to him once before, and I want to get to that place again and beyond. Maybe that's what you want most. Or maybe it's, again, it's that you want to get out of debt. It's got its, like, hands around your neck, man. It's strangling you out. Or maybe it's some addiction. Like, man, I just want to be free of this pornography addiction because it's wrecking my life. Whatever it is that you want most, that God is leading you to say, this is what you need most. Write that down. Capture that. And focus in on that. And then once you have that, the second thing that I want you to do is I want you to identify one discipline. Just one discipline. Not 20, not 30, one discipline. Week one, we talked about one word. Week two, one thought. Last week, one statement. This week, one discipline. That's what I want you to focus on. And as you start to identify that one discipline, question that needs to be asked to help you to figure that out is this: what do you need to do now to have what you want most? And whatever that is, that's going to be your one discipline. What do I need to do today? What do I need to do right now to get me to the place where I can achieve and have what it is that I want most? What one discipline do I need to tap into and focus on? What is it? I don't know what it is for you. Only you can figure that out between you and God. You need to seek him for that. But honestly, it really shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, it's really cause and effect kind of thing here. So if you want to get in shape, maybe that's what you want most, then maybe your one discipline is to join a gym and go. Join the one that you pass every day going home. That's what I did. I can't drive past it without getting shamed. All right? It's right there. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe it's that you want to just check out this whole God thing and this whole Jesus thing and figure out what it's all about. Maybe that's what you want most, is just to figure this thing out. Maybe your one discipline is to come to LifePoint every week. Be here consistently. Maybe that's your one discipline. You want to strengthen your relationship with God. Maybe you need to get, you know, like on a Bible reading plan with some buddies that will hold you accountable and you all work through it together. Or maybe you need to join a community group. Study God's word, whatever it may be. Spend more time in prayer. What is that one discipline that'll help you get to that place to have what you want most? I don't know what it may be for you, but you need to identify what you want most and what is the one discipline that you need to start today to help you get to the place and get you to where the thing that you want the most. It's that simple. You just have to do it. You've got to select that one thing. And in the process, you have to understand that you can't do this on your own. That you have to be spirit disciplined. Not anything that you could ever do, but it's Christ in you that makes all the difference. So what will your one discipline be? For me, when you kind of go through this whole process again, my one word for 2016 is trust. And I've shared that with you each week. And my one thought was inspired from Isaiah chapter 41. And my one thought is this: what's the point in stressing out and worrying about things when God is in control and victorious? And my one statement is, trust your God. Just trust your God. So with that said, my one discipline is simply to pray daily for God to increase my ability to trust him in everything. That's it. Simple. It's not like this, you know, 20-step process that I'm going to have to go through. It's not, you know, I'm going to commit to praying 5 hours a day in solitude, you know, in my room or something like that. It's nothing like that. It's going small. Focusing on Christ. Christ in me, not of myself, but about him. And I'm just going to seek him daily and just ask him to increase my ability to trust him in every aspect of my life. And see, that one small thing has the potential to radically change my life. It can make me a better husband, a better parent, a better friend, a better director, a better pastor. It has the potential to do that just by doing one small thing, by going small. Because remember, it's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. You've got to go small. Week one, we had our one word. One word is going to direct your year. Because remember, God says, don't despise the small things, because he loves to see the work begin, right? We're going to have big dreams and big thoughts, but it's going to start with a small action, a small word. We're going to start small, and he's going to be pleased in that and honored in that. Week two, we talked about our thoughts and how important they are. That our life will always move in the direction of our strongest thought, right? So therefore, we're going to take those thoughts captive, and we're going to make it obedient to the truth. Not the lies, but to the truth. And we're going to think on things that are pure and holy and lovely and excellent. Week three, we talked about the power of our words and how they have the power of both life and death. And we're not going to let any unwholesome speak come out of our mouths, right? The only thing we're going to speak are the things that will build up others, will lead them to what they need, right? We're going to watch our words. We're going to speak life over people, not death. We're going to speak life, because remember, that's the way we want it, right? And then today, talk about our disciplines. We've got to discipline our body, train it like an athlete, to train it to do what it should. Not what it naturally wants to do, but what it should. Man, we're going to run this race every step with purpose. And we're not going to run it for the participation trophy, which is a whole other topic. But we're going to run it to win. That's it. Second place, first loser. We're running to win. Every step matters. And of course, we can only do this through Christ. Christ in me. That's it. Spirit discipline, not self-discipline. Spirit discipline. Man, and when we start following the Spirit, when we go small and we follow the Spirit and are faithful in the small things, God says that he will then trust us with the big things, right? We've got to show that we can be trusted with the small things. And then as he promotes you into like to more influence, you've been faithful in these small things and you've gone small, and God starts building and building and building off that, and then one day you're making this huge impact. You're impacting your city. You're impacting the people in your life. And God is just blessing and working through you. Man, someone's going to look on and say, man, what are the big things that you had to do to get to this place? Like, man, you've got so much favor. Like, what did you have to do to get there? And you're going to be like, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. It's not the big things, man. It's not the big things. It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. So will you go small in 2016? I encourage you to focus in on those things. One word, one thought, one statement, and then today, one discipline. And seek God for those things, because you can't do it on your own, but only Christ in you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your truth, Lord. We thank you for your word. God, we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in the small things. God, that we'd be faithful in the small things so that you can trust us and give us the big things, Lord, so that we can do incredible things in your name, God. But it starts with a small step. God, may we be willing to go small and focus in on those things so that in return, God, that you can do incredible things through us. Maybe you're here today and the thing that you want most is to be set free. Just like my man Paul, man, to be free of the things that create death and destruction in your life. To be free of that sin. To be free of the things that bind you, that hold you back, that keep you down. You just want to be free. You want some peace, some joy, some love in your life. And if that's you, man, that's what you want, I'm here to tell you that the only way to receive those things is through Christ. And that's it. If you've never stepped over that line of faith and accepted him as your Savior, that's your step. That's your one thing before everything else. And see, and the good news is that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to be beaten for you, and then to be victorious and raised from the grave for you. For you alone. Took on your sin, your shame, your everything, so that you could have life, so that you could have grace, so that you could have forgiveness, so you could have love, so you could have love. See, he did that for you. And if you're here today, you've never stepped out of that line of faith, and you feel God moving you, just to give it all up to him. To lay it all out there. Say, no more of me, all of you. And if that's you today, I encourage you just to call out to God, however he speaks to you. It's not a prayer. It's not anything, but it's faith and belief. It's turning from yourself and turning to God and him only. And if that's you, just however he leads, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again for me so that I could be forgiven and have an eternal life with you. God, I have confessed that I have flaws and that I'm not perfect and I'm in desperate need of a Savior. God, I'm asking you to be my Savior today. Be my one and only. Save me today, God. And thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen. With our heads still bowed, if that was your prayer today, man, I promise you the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. That was your one thing. Boom. Checked off. Greatest thing you've ever done in your life. And from this day forward, the Bible says that you are a new creature, created anew in Christ Jesus. And if that was your decision today, we just ask that you would either come talk to me or Mike or one of the staff, or you can mark that, write that in on a connection card. Hand it to one of us, drop in the basket. We just want to know how to celebrate with you and how to guide you in this new journey with Christ. But as we continue in our prayer and our time of reflection right now, maybe you've accepted Christ, but man, you've lost track of so many things. You've lost focus on so many things, and you're incredibly disciplined, but in all the wrong areas. You've been trying to climb back on your own, through your own power, through your own works. But man, it's time just to lay that down and just come back to Christ. Be spirit disciplined, not self-disciplined. What do you want most? And whatever that is, find that, seek God for that one discipline and fixate on it. It doesn't have to be massive. It doesn't have to be something just earth-shattering. It's just that one discipline. And and watch as God radically changes your life. May we be faithful in the small things so that God will bless us with the big things. Father God, we just thank you again. Lord, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your grace, Lord. God, though we try on our own power to do the right things, God, we fall on our face every time. But through you and because of you, you in us, Lord, we can run this race with purpose and we can win. Because you're victorious. You've already won. We just got to be on your team. We got to focus on you. God, I pray for each person in here, Lord. Whatever it is that you're speaking to them, God, whether it has anything to do with what I talked about today, God. God, you work. May your spirit move. God, and may just lives be radically transformed, God. God, may we be a church that is focused on you, Lord, so that we can in turn love others and share your truth and share the gospel with those, not just to speak it, Lord, but to live it. God, and that has everything to do with our thoughts and our words and our action, and has everything to do with you living through us and us tapping into that, God. May we be a church that does that. Lord, I pray for everyone in here today, God, that you would speak truth to them, Lord, and that they would hear and receive your word. And in your name we pray, amen.